Hello, I'm Jez Frampton, Chief Executive Officer of Interbrand, and welcome back to Demand and Desire, the art and science of branding. In this edition, we talk best global brands, and we're very lucky to spend some time with the Chief Commercial Officer of Heineken, one of the best global brands, but more of that later. On the 2nd of October, we released Best Global Brands 2012. I suppose I should just start by saying thank you to everybody, both within the Interbrand team who made it happen, and of course to all of you who came along and spent the time with us. It was a truly outstanding event. If you haven't taken the time, I really would suggest that you go to our website and take a look over the data from Best Global Brands this year. We spent a lot of time really trying to bring the website right up to date, making everything as interactive as possible, enabling you to look at data by your own brand, by the brands that you admire, or indeed to look at cross-sector analysis. Full of deep detail about individual companies, interviews with their chief marketing officers, points of view about the sector, and tons more. So what happened this year in the table? Well, I suppose the biggest news is the rise of Apple, increasing in value by 129%, and now hot on the heels of Coca-Cola at number two in the table. Apple have really begun to feel the flow of earnings over the last 12 to 24 months, and as a result, that has a significant impact on the future value of their brand. But more than just that, Apple have managed to get across the, what you might describe, the hump in the road of their transition of leadership away from the sadly departed Steve Jobs to Tim Cook. Certainly indications are that the company is thriving under new leadership, but there must still be questions in the long-term future of the brand, 3 to 5 to 10 years out. And of course, one of the things that brand valuation does is it does examine the potential, shall we say, opportunities and threats facing a company across that time frame. Second biggest news in the top 10 is the arrival of Samsung, hot on the heels of Apple. And perhaps this is where the future battleground lies in the technology sector. I would even lay money on the fact that I think that the battleground will become the home. And in this area, Samsung have an enormous advantage, already making many of our home appliances. It's only a short stop before they start to link everything together to create a truly connected home. We called the magazine and indeed the content on the website this year the human issue. It's always been the case that brands are really human constructs. They are the place where people and businesses come together. And those people represent not just customers, but also, of course, staff, shareholders, suppliers, the whole chain of distribution. And brands have a part to play across all of those different audiences. Not surprisingly, given the fact that we're focusing on people, the relationship between human beings and technology, the way that it's changing the way that we live our lives, through the way that we choose, the way that we form loyalty with brands, and of course, ultimately, what we're prepared to pay. There's a tough road ahead for brands to make sure that they really do represent the needs, wants, and desires of not just their customer audiences, but increasingly those audiences on the inside of their business. It would be fair to say that retail continues to go through massive changes, and companies like Amazon and eBay continue to define the way that people think about retail increasingly. Burberry, one of our other best global brands, recently opened its new flagship store in Regent Street in London, claiming that it was an attempt to bring its website to life. Probably a first amongst many retailers around the world, but I'm sure certainly not the last. The car industry continues to reinvent itself, and we see a number of brands bringing out their new electric offerings over the next couple of years. Will it be about pure electric? Will it be about range extension? Or will we still be living in hybrids in 5 years' time? Well, certainly Nissan have a point of view with signs of real momentum driving through that brand. So what were the conclusions from this year? Well, I suppose it's always nice to add things up into a nice, simple mnemonic. Four I's. First and foremost, any brand now has to understand the whole notion of interaction. How do you interact with your customers using technology, using combinations of human beings and technology, and of course, the good old-fashioned ways of maintaining that conversation face-to-face. Involvement is key. Consumers want to become a part of brands, and besides which, they don't want to be called consumers anymore. They want to be customers, they want to be your friends, they want to be part of your business. Involve me, they're saying. Innovation continues to be a key. There's only so much you can strip out of your supply chain to reduce cost. Sooner or later, everyone has to get around to thinking about growth. And finally, we are, after all human. And you have to continue to inspire us, particularly at a time when there seems to be so much bad news around the world. Brands have a responsibility to inspire us, to make our lives more interesting, to show that they really understand what we want from the world around us, and to help us to build the kinds of lives that we want to lead. Well, there's no doubt about the fact that 2013 looks like an exciting year. I was very lucky to find myself in the offices of Heineken just in time for drinks the other week, and indeed to spend some time with Alexis Nazard, Chief Commercial Officer of Heineken, to talk about the transformation that's taken place at the company over the last 2 years, and of course to discuss the changing drinking habits of a certain James Bond. Well, I'm very, very lucky to be here in Amsterdam with Alexis Nazard at Heineken. And for those of you who grew up in the UK like I did, you may remember something along the lines of a beer that refreshes the parts other beers cannot reach. However, the brand has changed considerably since then. But maybe let's start with a little bit of the history, Alexis.
Heineken is an old brand, but it doesn't feel old. It's been created in 1873. And in the Netherlands, and then it started sailing around the world. It got its first claim to fame in the U.S. Early in the century, right after the Great Depression, and since then it's starting, pollinating a little bit around the world. Today, it is the truly most international brand in beer. Mm-hmm. It is present in 175 countries. So it's an old brand, but our challenge is to make sure that we maintain the brand's credential while we keep it relevant, up-to-date, and cool. Because one thing no one would ever tell you about Heineken is that it's old-fashioned or that it's boring.
Yeah, which is actually interesting, because if I look back at the history of Heineken's performance on Best Global Brands, it dropped off. Mm-hmm. And then this guy called Alexis came along, and you've made some significant changes, haven't you, within the business, and you're now back on the list and doing well. What is it that you think that you've managed to do to get the brand going back in the right direction again?
There was really a willingness in the company and the organization to be back on track. Because the fact is that for a few years, we as a company tended to become a little bit financially driven and maybe not as much brand driven as we should be. And everybody collectively at Heineken recognized that. So there was a lot of readiness and willingness inside the company to really, while staying clearly competitive and performing financially, go back to the roots of our business, which is being great brewers and great brand builders. There are two things. One is pure brand building fundamentals, and the second one is governance. The second one is an area not enough talked about. In terms of pure brand building, we went back to the DNA of the brand, and we created a brand essence out of which the whole program has flown. Mm-hmm. And that brand essence is what we call Be a Man of the World, which really encapsulates everything that the brand stands for in terms of confidence, masculinity, modernity, attitude, open-mindedness. And this is what we like to think Heineken is about. And this is what consumers tell us we are about.
A beer of the world for a man of the world.
Exactly. You've said it perfectly. So beer of the world or the man of the world. And then everything starts flowing from that. Great creativity in advertising, consistency in campaigns, sponsorship platforms, James Bond, who is the quintessential man of the world. Everything becomes so easy once your thinking is clear about your brand positioning and your brand essence.
You do make it sound easy, but it's not that straightforward, is it? Because you're a global organization, you've got the complexity of trading and being in the right places, so distribution is highly important to you. You've also got local operating groups that you work with. How did you manage to convince all those different groups of people around the world that this was the right thing to do.
Simplicity is the trademark of intellectual superiority, but to get to simplicity, you've got to get to the bottom of things, and that's not always a very easy thing. The biggest enemy of brand building and innovation is committees and democracy. Because ultimately, in any brand that you build, as in any suit that you design, there is an element of personal taste, which is subjective. And for you to have an identity that stays over time, that personal taste, that subjective component needs to be consistent. This is why we say in our strategy, we are consumer-inspired, but brand-led. We don't say we are brand-inspired and consumer-led. Right. We are the brand builders. And this is what I tell every marketeer in our company and outside. Don't delegate your job to committees internally or to consumers. You're not leading if that's the case. Brand builder need to be stand, show stuff, share stuff that some people will not like. And so what? Unless you're after 100% share, you don't need unanimity. Oftentimes when I present and somebody in the audience comes and says, oh, but I don't like that casket and I don't like that music. You know what I answer them? And I don't like your tie. Brand building is about three things. Science, because you need professionals to do it. Not because everybody is a consumer, that means brand building is a casual and a mundane thing. There is science. There is art, connections, colors, music, feeling, movement. I spend hours on execution, and I don't consider it beneath my dignity. I review scripts like you have no idea. I can spend, on one of our latest campaigns, I've already spent an aggregate of like 25 hours reviewing music. Right?
Right?
Senior people need to take interest in art direction because this is how brands come to life. So science, art, and the last one is courage. You have to be brave to lead brands because brands are into the face of everybody and it's going to be sometimes controversial, sometimes going to be uncomfortable, sometimes going to be unpopular. But this is why we pay leaders to be leaders.
So where's it going? What's your mission? You're a man with a lot of passion, Alexis.
Yes.
Where's this brand going in the longer term?
We want to be the brand of choice to young men who are getting their swagger together and who are starting to perform and to build their lives and their careers. We want to be that brand of graduation.
There's a very clear description of the customer there.
Yeah. Yeah, we are the brand into which you graduate. Once you get your first job or once you go to business school, then you start buying Heineken. You're still cool, you're still fun, you're still not serious. But then Heineken is your natural graduation brand and a truly international one.
And, I mean, obviously the world's changing quite considerably, not just in terms of the way that we live our lives, but also where we live our lives, increasing urbanization. We've all got digital equipment coming out of every pocket. Is this changing the way that people see beer? Are 18-year-olds still going through the same processes? How are you using digital to get to them in this way? And have you noticed any significant changes from those? I remember when I first started working on beer brands, it was all about repertoires and it was about moving between different brands at different times of day and different people and all this kind of stuff. Is any of that stuff changing or is it all still true?
Many people say everything is changing all the time as an easy excuse not to do their classic homework on brand building or as an excuse to transforming fundamental, profound brand building messages into casual, entertainment, superficial, digital media-led messages. Hey, oh, I'm having fun, are you? I'm sorry, that's cute, but that doesn't replace brand building. On the other hand, not wanting to be cognizant of the way people communicate today will not allow your profound messages to get through. Because when I say we need to be part of the conversation, is they have to be into the conversation, wherever the conversation is taking place. So it's a media question, it's a messaging question. So today, do people perceive and purchase brands for different reasons from before? No. People still want a brand that is tastes good, that has values that are aspirational, and importantly, that they are proud to carry in their hand. Because as I always like to say, beer is 60% emotion and 40% water, barley, hops and yeast.
It's interesting because the role of brand in beer is 60% or thereabouts, certainly when it comes to Heineken anyway.
Exactly.
Pretty much bang
because
on.
Because you can have a great image,
yeah.
But then you drink the beer and you don't like it, it's not going to take you very far.
Yeah.
Right? So
it has to deliver on a product level.
It has to deliver, exactly. So these things will never change and will always be there. Now, how you choose to communicate and what channels you utilize need to be keep updated all the time. Video advertising, we no longer call it TV advertising, we call it video advertising, VA, will never die because there's no way to communicate emotions like sight, sounds, and motion.
Yeah, and I'd say if anything, it's going to increase because as the higher bandwidth comes through to all
exactly.
our mobile devices, you can actually do a lot more
exactly.
visually and create much richer experiences.
You know what was hilarious? You were in Cannes, I think, this year too,
yeah,
right? What was funny is you realize even the most modern digital media-based presentations were presented to the jury in Cannes in video form.
Yeah.
They were not in click form. They were all videos. So video will never die. So the role of video advertising is more important than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making huge progress in that whole arena with campaigns which have textures, which have emotions, which have variety, where we've went a long way from your classical big fat beer jokes that have been a staple of the past. So these things will never change. The things that will change is that you have to reach people where they are, which means mobile is important. You have to be part of people's conversations in social media, but do not have expectations on social media to deliver more than it can deliver. Social media has a certain role to play, but it cannot become everything. Some of our competitors think that the world has changed. They have moved from traditional TV to social media. I find these statements inaccurate and simplistic.
Mm.
Each role and each medium has its part to play in building a brand. Some will evolve, some will not.
And it's about finding the right mix and constantly reviewing that as you go forward.
Finding the right mix and having clarity on the strategic role of every touch point.
I have to ask you about James Bond. How did that association come about?
For me, it was a very natural evolution of our Man of the World strategy.
Mm.
Because sponsorship is our brand that accompanies with them into the high moments of their lives. So it creates a lot of bonding. You know, when your favorite team is winning in the Champions League and Heineken is next to you, it really, it's great for the association. It's very emotional, it's very tight. So for me, it was very natural that James Bond be a partner for us when we decided to be a Man of the World. To be fair, I haven't invented James Bond on Heineken. This is not a new partnership.
Oh,
but I found our old partnerships not good enough and almost apologetic, where we're not in the film,
mm-hmm.
we're not in the commercial, but then we go and we promote it on the side. I can't accept to be the poor parent of anybody. If we are partners, we are full-fledged partners until the very end, or we're not. So this is where we embarked to create a fully true partnership, which was on every single element, touch points, premieres, editing rights, film, advertising, content, promotions, you name it.
Yeah.
I actually believe James Bond benefits from an association with Heineken as much as we benefit from an association with James Bond. Remember, James Bond is an old franchise.
Mm.
And James Bond a few years ago was at the risk of becoming old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? You know, I have greatest respect for everybody, including the Martini brand, which is doing a very good job. But you can argue in today's environment whether a young, modern, effective spy would actually drink a martini with an umbrella or would he rather drink a beer? This is where realism kicks in. And a brand like Heineken is actually a pretty cool and modern brand, which actually can spice up a little bit, I think, James Bond going forward. And this is the kind of conversations we had with the Broccoli mm-hmm. family. We shared with them our work, and they loved it. And they said, you know, this looks like really we're talking really on the same plane in terms of aspirations, image, and the universe we want both our brands to evolve in. That was a very smooth collaboration. They're professionals, and they really care about their brand. And we respect people who care about their brands. And we have no interest in damaging their brand, and they have no interest in damaging our brands. And we believe 1+1=3. And this is what we're starting to see.
Alexis, I know you're a busy guy. I really thank you very much.
Do I look busy to you?
You look very relaxed, I have to say. Thank you very much for taking our time with us today. I guess in future there won't be a lot of shaking going on where James Bond is concerned. But I don't know whether it is acceptable to stir a Heineken. But I look forward to seeing it on screen. And I thank you very much for taking the time with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Jess. My pleasure.
Well, it certainly does look like 2013 is going to be lucky for some. I'd like to say thank you once again to everybody who was involved in creating, attending and just generally making Best Global Brands 2012 a truly fantastic event. And also, of course, to my very good friend Alexis Nazard, who spent some time with us talking about the exciting times ahead for Heineken. Thank you very much. This was Jez Frampton, Chief Executive Officer of Interbrand. This was Demand and Desire.